Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. My name is Christoph, and I am joined this morning with Jeff.
Hey, Christoph. How's it going, man?
It's good. It's been a minute since I've had the opportunity to welcome the podcast. And so for a minute, I was like, wait a minute. What am I doing?
How do we do this?
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Again. Thanks.
I'm excited to get to have a conversation with you today.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Before that, how was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a great weekend. Beautiful fall weekend, right?
Oh, man, and awesome.
Yeah. How about you?
It's great. My favorite with the fall right now is when I go on my morning walks and it's still kind of dark out, but I can feel the crunching of the leaves underneath my feet because it hasn't been really like rainy, even though it's been like rainy in the forecast, but it's been kind of dry. So it's like, it's kind of the perfect fall of like, it's not too cold. The leaves are on the ground. It's nice and crunchy. So anyways,
I agree. Definitely my favorite time of year. It's beautiful and I love the temp.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've just been trying to enjoy it while I can. I have a yard that needs to get raked very soon.
Ditto.
Yeah. And that's kind of like next on the horizon. But we are here this morning to follow up from the sermon.
You preached on, you know, we finished Hebrews.
Yes.
And it's interesting, having spent the year in it, it's one of those things like, how do you actually end, right? After you've spent so much time. And I feel like, at least for me as a pastor, this has been such an encouraging book. It has deepened my comprehension of the gospel in beautiful ways. And there's been so much, you know, interestingly for me, there's been so much that has been helpful for heart work, you know, like getting into our hearts and how do we apply the gospel and how do we apply the work of Christ in our everyday lives. And it's been so encouraging. So I was excited that you got to, you know, preach on this benediction passage. So the passage we're looking at, just to remind everyone, is at the end of Hebrews in chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And it's just this beautiful prayer of blessing that gets prayed at the end. So for you, as you were preparing, you did a great job of tying in some of the key images and points that were made throughout Hebrews. What was that like for you, just like personally, as you meditated on these different ways that this author has drawn out the work of Christ and tied it to these, really oftentimes we think of them as Old Testament images, right?
Yeah. And they are Old Testament images, but I think part of what the author of Hebrews is doing is reminding us that it's ever relevant, you know, and not just when Hebrews was written, you know, 2,000 years ago, but also in 2025, the relevance.
You relevance. Got it. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Relevance of this letter is still is huge, you know, in 2025. And I felt the same way as we were going through it. And I actually had a really, you know, my perspective of it is I was not on staff when we started this letter.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. So I went back and I listened to just bits and pieces of the first couple of messages just to kind of like go, oh, yeah, we're like, I wasn't a part of the conversations of like, hey, what are we hoping to like draw out of this series? What's our prayer for our congregation during this? I came back on staff in June, and so it was halfway through it. So my position when we started this letter was just as somebody who was a congregant. I was a part of the process of like, hey, how are we receiving this as a blessing as a church? And the very first sermon was January 26th, and it was titled Prophet, Priest, and King.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, man, that's right. Like, and as we have it, I mentioned that in the sermon, like that whole theme of Jesus being this greater fulfillment of everything that came before and being the greater fulfillment of everything that is and being the greater fulfillment of everything that will be is just like sat in this letter the whole time. So like that really is what sat on me. So when I read, just follow me. I didn't really say this in the sermon explicitly, but I kind of tried to weave it in a little bit, is in verse 20, he mentions, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant." I feel like you can kind of almost see prophet, priest, and king in there, right? Priest, the blood of the eternal covenant, the one who is our intermediary, the one that goes before us, the great shepherd of the sheep, our king, our leader, the one that we follow. And then the God of peace, the one who speaks truth and wisdom and light into our life. He is the fulfillment of all of that, which is what Hebrews was all about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You're right. I see it there too. It's right in front of me, and it's an amazing place for the author to draw it. I mean, we believe there's a human author, but we do believe the human author wasn't alone in this writing, right?
Yeah,
like that God's spirit. This is his word breathed out for us to know God, to love him, to enjoy him. And it is amazing, the resurrection theme here as well.
Yeah.
Because so much has been, there has been so much actual death in reframing of what Jesus's death is and how really you know, those Old Testament images that you were talking about, like tabernacle, temple, and priesthood and sacrifice, those are almost like the moon reflecting the sun's rays, and the author keeps saying, Jesus is the sun. He's the sun. He's the thing.
He's the source.
Those are the reflection, just like the moon reflects the light of the sun. It's not the main thing. Without the sun, there's no moon. Without Jesus, there's no priesthood, right? It's all him. He's the fulfillment of all these things. And I love how you captured it and tied it together. And it's neat that this author takes, like, he shows us, he or she shows us how to apply all that came before this. This is like, now so what? Everything I've said, so what? And this is the prayer, right, of blessing on the people.
Well, and what I love about that too, and I didn't, this is one of those things that even after writing on it and praying about it and thinking back on it, I don't know if you have that moment. I feel like there's some sermons that you preach, and once you preach it, you kind of feel like it's out of your system and you're like, man, I'm preaching, I'm done. This was one that like kind of sat on me in the afternoon, and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about, you know, I'd mentioned dislocated and relocated, kind of that word equip. And I was thinking like located, like where you are, where, and I was thinking again of that language, and I mentioned it in the sermon, but I wish I would have went a little bit more with that, because you just said it perfectly. It's like the temple, like the goal wasn't the temple, right? The goal is to dwell with God, to be mm-hmm. with God, to abide in God, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus says, I am the vine, you know, abide in me, right? It's that he is the source. The temple isn't the source. And, you know, in 2025, we don't have a temple that we go to, right? But sometimes we can treat other things in our life in that same way. We can treat the church as that way. It's like, oh, the goal is to get to church. And it's like, the goal is the place, no, the church is the place where we then actually get to the goal, which is Jesus. Like the church is a vehicle for that, but it's not like the thing. It's not, you know, and so I love how, yes, again, through all of Hebrews, that was kind of the theme of like, Jesus is the greater mm-hmm. this. I mean, I think if there was like a modern Hebrews that was written, he may say it in that sort of language of like, you know, Jesus is the greater church, you know, yes. Dwell within him.
Yeah. And the word. So yeah, you made me think when you were saying that, like sometimes I think you're right, for us, the temptation in our tendency isn't going to be to overly focus on tabernacle worship, right? Because we've had to continually try to put our imagination there because our worship doesn't look like theirs did, but we have other ways of doing what they were prone to do.
Right.
And so you mentioned church, like worship services. I think the other one probably for our stream in our church that could be an issue would be the Bible. And how do we handle the Bible? And what I don't mean is we don't take it seriously. I mean, the Bible could be something that replaces or becomes the end in itself of Jesus. So the Bible, again, I use that word vehicle. The Bible is meant to be a vehicle in which gets us to abide in him, to relate with him, to know him. So if we don't know him through it, we're missing it. It's the Bible isn't the end.
Yeah.
But it's crucial, right, in knowing him. But so that's where I think where we would be tempted.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's actually a really, really good point. And scripture itself like testifies to that in like John 1:1, right? Where like Jesus is the word, right? The word is like literally the second person of the triune God, fully God, right? Like Jesus is the word of God. I actually love it. So I've been in school, I've been reading a lot of church, I've been reading a lot of the sources for church history, church fathers, and a lot of it has dwelt around Jesus. And it's amazing how much different church fathers, people like Athanasius and people like, I'm blanking on some of the other ones, but Athanasius would be, but they like explicitly call Jesus just the word. They like refer to him as the word, you know? And so that's a really good point of like, yes, this is the word of God. Scripture is like literally his words given to us. But the word himself is Jesus. I love the, he's just fresh on my brain. Have you heard the illustration Francis Chan gave about this?
No.
A long time. No. It's really fun illustration. But he's like, you know, we sometimes, it's like literally God's word, but we take like the things he says and we treat it as if the things he says is God, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it would be as if like your parents told you to go and clean your room. And so you wrote on a piece of paper, go and clean your room. And you go up into your room and you're there for a couple of hours. And your parent comes back in there. They open the door and your room is still completely trashed. And they're like, what did you do? And you look, I have studied this. I've memorized this sentence. I know it by heart. I know each of the words and what they mean. Isn't that amazing? And your parent looks at you and goes, I just wanted you to clean your room. Like, you missed the point. We treat God's word that way sometimes. You know, we treat it as like, as if God's word is God. And so, well, no, it's the word, you know, it mm-hmm. is, it is Jesus who is actually God. And those are his good words and his vehicle by which he then, helps us locate ourselves in him, which is, you know, eventually the ultimate goal of like the Christian walk is to just walk with the Lord.
Yeah. To enjoy him, right? To delight in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you broke down. So then you went on 21 is where you broke down the two kind of categories or the two calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
The accomplishments, I guess, of what he did. And then the call. And the first one was to equip, right? And I love how you use this image of equipping, not so much as like putting on something that you need for the living, like in a sport metaphor, it'd be like putting on your helmet and your pads to play the game, but more like actually setting what is wrong right so that it can function how it was meant to.
Yeah.
Can you, like, what was it like for you as you unpacked that and even in your studies? Like, give us a little behind the scenes look at what that was like for you to come to that conclusion.
Because
it's probably not what we would have first guessed.
No.
When we read it.
No. So this was one of those, and it's funny because I was talking to you before the sermon. I was telling you, like, I had this moment of like, wow, this is really neat. And I think it could be easy to miss. In fact, I missed it the first time I was studying it, which is why it's fun and it's important to just take time to like study God's word. I don't think you would, let me make sure I say this. I don't think you would be wrong to read this passage that way. Like if you read this and you went, equip yourself with everything good. And you thought of that as like, okay, I need to like make sure that I'm following the Lord, that I'm, you know, I think that's great. But I also think it's kind of neat that like, okay, so when I give you behind the scenes look, when I prep for a message, what I tend to do, what I've done the last couple of times is I write out the whole passage in a notebook, double spaced. I write the whole passage out and then I just kind of like start circling things. I start just kind of like looking like, hey, what do I think the main point of this is? What are some things that stand out to me? Just anything and everything, just circle it through with, you know, I have a handful of like different colorful pens. And with this one, the word, like that specific part of it, I was like, okay, well, this is a blessing. So what is the blessing for the people? What is the blessing we are meant to receive after reading Hebrews? And to me, it seems like equip yourself with everything good that you may do his will. Right? That is the blessing that is given to us. So then I was like, well, let's just, you know, check some sources. And so the first thing I thought of was, well, equip yourself. I thought of the armor of God. And I, you know, went through and I read that passage. And I was like, oh, it's beautiful. It's really cool. That's what I'm gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, oh, I have like this book where they basically compile all of Spurgeon's sermons and they essentially like take any of the times he went through Hebrews and he gives his commentary on it. And so I saw that Spurgeon made a comment. He's like, well, this actually, if you look at the Greek word, it's more of like a dislocated bone. It's like a repairing. It's like, well, that's interesting. I don't see that in there. I should do a little bit of digging. And so I went to, this is a really cool resource. So if you're listening, blueletterbible.com. Have you used Blue Letter Bible before?
Yes, I have.
It's a really cool website. Yes. And one of the things that I love about it, I've been using it for years. So probably, I mean, before I was even working in a church environment, it's just a really useful website. You can look up a passage, you can click on a specific verse, and what it'll do is it'll give you all the Greek words. And you can click on that Greek word, and it'll give you kind of like all the places it's used. It's really user-friendly. So I went there, and I looked it up, and I looked up the specific word for equip. And sure enough, it's more used as like a repairing of a thing or like a putting something back together. Like, wow, that's really interesting. And it has me look at that just a little bit differently. Not that either version is wrong. And I think I would imagine the Spirit has used it to encourage people both ways. But I was like, man, for our context, that feels really poignant. That feels really like what God has done over this last year. And I feel like it's what he's currently doing within our church family. And so I was like, that's to me what the blessing is. If we're wrapping up this whole year-long series, which is what we're doing, it feels a little bit intimidating to be like the one who's like putting the capstone on it and being like, hey, because of all this, then this. But I think then we should zero in on that. So yeah, that was kind of the behind the scenes of like, wow, that's the work he's done in all of us. And I love to go back to the word of dislocated. I've been really convinced, and I love the imagery of the work God has been doing within humanity is bringing them back to dwell with him. It's not just it's easy to think of it as like his, when you think of like a kingdom and you think of like a medieval kingdom where he's a king living up in his castle and we're just kind of like the peasants who are just like living in our little huts or whatever. It's like, no, he actually wants us to dwell with him. Not just near him, not just like kind of in proximity or in the same city. He wants us to dwell with him. And I think of the word located within him. And so like outside of Christ, we have been dislocated. We are outside of where we're meant to be. Mm-hmm. And so then the work of Christ is to bring us back into dwelling with him, which I just think is beautiful.
It is. And I think with that added, caveat or detail on the word equip, it deepens our understanding of what equipping is.
Yeah.
Because it's not just that we just don't have the strength and God strengthens us. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. That's part of it, right? We in ourselves don't have strength, but it's also a complete different direction we're headed. It's a turning away from a conscious rejection of the one who made us and gave us life and who's full of light and joy and all that is good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
being set right with him. And it makes me think, like, I don't know the answer to this right now, but the question that came to my mind when you were talking about dislocated is what does it look like or feel like to have a dislocated soul and body? Hmm. Because it's not just like an arm or a shoulder, right? I like that example you gave of a shoulder. It's actually in our whole being, bodily, embodied souls, we are dislocated. And yes, outside of him. And I think that we felt what it feels like to still like have those pains at times, as we continue to grow, because it's a progressive thing, this growth in him. So like, fear is one of the ways it feels like. Fear is something that did not exist until human beings were dislocated. It did not happen.
Interesting, yeah, yeah.
Or the sense of shame that we can feel, or the sense of wanting to cover and hide. All of those things are part of what it feels like to have a dislocated soul and a dislocated body from Christ. Mm. And I love that image that by being relocated in him, by being grafted into him, by being attached to him in our everyday life. I love it says, with everything good that you may do his will. Like there's an actual change in our status and reality so that we live differently. And that means we also feel differently. It doesn't mean that, we don't have moments of feeling fear or feeling shame or feeling any of those things. But then what we do with that is so different because we've been set right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like, I hesitate to use all the sports metaphors, but it's football season. So, but I think of like a quarterback that dislocates their shoulder. They can't go back in and throw that football until, it pops back in, they're able to go back in there, and then they're able to operate in the way that they were meant to, and in the same way, that's a really, you've got my mind kind of revving a little bit over that idea of like, what do we feel dislocated from the Lord when we're not equipped to do everything that's good? So like fear, shame. I was even thinking of just like the grieving mm-hmm. of this world. Mm-hmm. And when you experience just like tragedy that you go, this was not the way that it was meant to be. That is like a dislocation of what it is meant to be. But then it gives us a future hope, right? Like it gives us, so then we're able to identify and go, yeah, this isn't the way that it was supposed to be. But praise God that he's doing this work. And the really neat thing is that he invites us then into that work. So like we know that he's doing the work, but then for him to say, so that you may do his will is an invitation for us then to be a part of that as well, to be a part of the process of being those who shine that light. And that was like, that's kind of one of the big things I really wanted to drive home with this is like, not only is God doing this and we just kind of like sit back and watch, he invites us to be a part of that, to be a part of that work that he is doing, which is a really beautiful thing, especially after you felt the dislocation of your soul from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think you, like fleshing out that analogy, that pain that the athlete feels is really important because it alerts them to something that's wrong that needs to be repaired. So even though the pain is an issue, you don't just in that moment take something so that you don't feel pain anymore. You have to have the thing repaired and reattached and connected.
Yeah, you would tell an athlete they're crazy if they just took some like Tylenol
after
dislocating their shoulder and tried to go back out.
I just don't
want to
feel pain anymore. And that's why I think it's valuable for us to reflect on what does it feel like? What does the dislocation feel like for us? Because often, I mean, who wants to feel fear or shame? Who wants to feel that they want to cover? No one does. And we can sometimes do the very same thing as taking Tylenol for a dislocated shoulder. We can try to mask it and just get rid of that feeling. But that feeling is so important. That sense that we have of something is not right. Something needs to be repaired. And often the mistake that I know I have made in my life is when I notice that, I don't immediately just cling to the one who can repair me and who has repaired me. It's an ongoing thing, right?
Yeah.
It's past, present, and future. I can try to repair it on my own, or I can try to ignore it. And the energy it requires, like the energy that's required in me to ignore some of those senses that I have when things aren't right, is far greater than the delight of just turning to him and saying, Lord, I feel this right now. I feel anxious. I feel like disconnected from you and something is not right. Thank you for that feeling because that's alerting me to a problem. I know you are the one who can repair this. Help me. Give me comfort. You know, and we take it to him that way.
Yeah.
And then like you were getting to, your second point was that then we get to live in his will. We get to then carry out this partnership. Really, he's asked us to be part of what he's doing. He doesn't need us to, but he wants us to, so that we can share in his delight in his creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that's good. That's good. And that was even, so you even got me thinking before to just rewind just a little bit. Because you'd mentioned this on Sunday morning when you and I were talking. I hate when you do this, by the way. is that you bring up something. So like I share with you like what I'm really excited about I'm preaching. And you're like, oh yeah, it's like this. And I'm like, I didn't have that in the sermon, but now I wish I put it in the sermon.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I just have to ignore it because
I'm sorry, brother.
That's okay. That's okay because it was really good. It's like I was telling you about the dislocation thing and you're like, yeah, could you imagine how weird it would be if somebody dislocated, you know, their shoulder and then they just tried to go about life as normal. Like they just, you know, tried to put on a giant coat or they just tried to like do life like normal. That would be super weird. And in the same way, it would be, we do that. Like we spiritually try to do that. I think of like even my kids. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you experienced this when your kids were little. And I think anyone here who has children, they will be like, Band-Aids. Like I love Band-Aids and I hate Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Because any hurt, any pain, any pain, my children are like, slap a Band-Aid on that thing.
Feels
like,
better.
You're not bleeding. Yeah. Like, there's no reason for you to, like, the whole purpose of the Band-Aid here is to stop the bleeding. But like, you know, they put something on to mask it. I'd shared that I've never dislocated something, but that I've broken two bones. And the second bone I broke was my hand. And I broke it playing football my senior year of high school. It's my left hand. And I knew immediately I did something to it. I don't even remember what happened. I just remember feeling pain in my hand the next day. And we didn't address that thing until the Monday after. I was like, I'm in a lot of pain, but like, all right, well, you know, whatever. We'll just, you know, go on life as normal. And I think it was like in math class and I was trying to hold a pencil and do math. And I'm like, something is not working right here. And then if we finally addressed it and they had to put a cast on it and I had to not use it for a certain amount of time. But like we do that. We just like ignore it, pretending as if like it's going to somehow get better. And that's part of the issue is that we use all these other worldly things to try to fix what is ultimately a spiritual heart issue, right? It's like ultimately Jesus is the one who transformed us. You are not the one who does the transformation. It's like slapping a Band-Aid on it and pretending that's going to be all right. If it's a dislocation, that's not going to happen. Like, you got to pop it back in. And it's Jesus that is the one that does that. So anyways, you just got my brain. You had said that before the sermon on Sunday. And I was like, oh, that's really good. Can I get that in there? And I was like, nope, it's not on script, man. Don't do it. So I didn't do it.
Well, I give you credit, man. I think your thought, like, as you wrote, like, kind of ran down what you were going to do with me quick, my mind immediately was like, yes, that's good. This is what it made me think. So sorry, though. It is kind of a weird feeling to get up and feel like I want something that I'm not going to say.
Yeah, you know, that's here. What the podcast is for, right?
Exactly.
And we got it now, yeah.
Exactly. The next, I mean, I like where you went with then the change, that we get to do his will, and that change that is called for is holistic, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It goes beyond behavior, but behavior is impacted because it starts really, like, deep in us, in our heart, and with our motivations and our desires and the things that we want, right?
Yeah.
And then it flows out into our behaviors. And
it changes all of us. Yeah, it has to. It has to. Especially, you know, when you put it the way of, like, the soul essentially being dislocated from the body. Like, what else could happen other than, like, a holistic change? Like, life is going to be different, but it's going to be beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't sugarcoat the fact that, hey, when you give your life to Christ, it's not necessarily everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. There's pain when you pop that, you know, bone back in. It's difficult, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. And then you think of, like, the long-term ramifications of if that doesn't happen versus, you know, the short-term pain of trying to deal with those things. But I'm going to, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, we trust then that the good work Jesus has begun in you is not only worth it, but it is the right thing, and that he's going to use it in beautiful ways that you might not even know. And so that's why I wanted to make sure and try to drum up a few things where people might be like, I don't want to deal with this because it's going to be really hard. And I just want to be like, yeah, it's going to be. It absolutely is, but it's absolutely worth it. And, like, you should take that step, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, one application that I've been thinking of, you gave a few examples of ways that we could do this, like supporting our missionaries, encouraging them, welcomed. You gave the church plant in Marinette as an example, which I appreciated that,
yeah.
You know? One of the things I guess I would encourage people with as kind of a concluding thought about Hebrews and how we could apply it is, I think this call, this benediction is a call to be alert. And it, to me, it's another way of saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Like, I think he wants us, God is calling us, be alert to what I am doing in the world right next to you in your everyday lives,
yeah.
With your neighbors,
yeah.
Your coworkers, your family, you know, the clerk at the gas station, the grocery store. Be alert to what I am doing, and join me in it by being faithful to me in those moments, by being my image bearer, reflecting my love, my grace, my compassion, my justice in those moments. And what I love that you said is it's really small things that at the time they might even feel insignificant to us. And we say this all the time, but we're going to keep saying it, that it's small acts of faithfulness in the moment with real people in our lives that really make a huge difference, that God takes them and he multiplies them, right? And it's like a little act of kindness, and God can take it and transform a life with it. It's a ripple.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess my encouragement would be for all of us, me included, I'm telling myself, is let's today be alert. Be alert to the reality that we have been relocated into Jesus, and we're now undergoing a process of change and growth, and be alert to what he's doing around you that at the outset might feel like a dislocation. It might feel painful, but knowing that is a gift. Knowing it and being alert to it is a gift. So be alert to what he's doing, and then ask God, how can I join you in this, in a small act of faithfulness today? And it might be, hey, I'm just going to pray for my coworker because I know right now that they're not getting a paycheck. I know right now that things are hard. Whatever it is, it might be just a smile to someone we don't know today. It might be something more significant. But I guess that would be my encouragement, is that can be an act of actual joy when we know that it actually, God is doing something.
Yeah.
And we can trust that he's at work, right? All
yep.
around us
yep.
and in us included. And we get the opportunity to join him in it, having been equipped for what we need in that moment. equipped for that good.
Yep.
In that moment.
Yeah. And it really is. I can't stress enough those small acts of faithfulness, the small ones. Like, it's so easy to like see some of the big things God is doing and to try to pursue after those things. And I just would say that's up to God. He does do some incredibly amazing things. But those incredibly amazing things tend to happen because of small acts of faithfulness. And I went through that list of things just because I'm like, hey, here's a handful of things that you could totally do and things that we're doing within this church. And so if you're not doing something, here's at least some things that you can do. But yeah, like it could be just the way that you care for a neighbor. It could be how you speak to your coworkers. It could be how you are praying with your children. It could be so many different ways that you are just being faithful to the kingdom, loving the Lord, loving the people around you, and just see what God does with it. That's why I also wanted to point out in the room, because you know it's been pretty full on Sunday morning. Part of the reason it's been pretty full on Sunday morning isn't because you or I or even Jay are like fantastic TED Talk speakers. It's because the people of our church are just faithfully loving people that are around them, and people go, why are they doing that? And well, let me tell you about this Jesus who loved me in a way that's just incredible and radical. That's how it happens. That's how people come into the church on Sunday morning. That's how people hear about Jesus, is because of you being faithful to what God has called you to. So, yeah.
Amen, man.
Anyways, yes. That being said, I think we can tie things up here. As always, if you have a question for us, if you want to get connected, I know we have people who listen to this podcast who don't even necessarily come to church here. If there's a way that we can get connected with you, be praying for you, send us an email, connect@faithpeshtigo.com. If you have a question you would like tackled on the podcast, you can do it the same way. I believe Jay will be back next week. So you'll have Jay back. So it was a blessing. It was awesome. Jeff, thanks for letting me take up some of your time this morning.
Well, thanks for the conversation, man. It's been great to get to do this with you.
So good. All right. Well, and as you go in peace.